This is the Daily Radio Ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Ephesians. Now, here's Pastor Sandy with the conclusion of his message entitled, A Third Race in Ephesians chapter 2.
And you know what I'm praying for you this morning? I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes, the eyes of your heart, to just how near you are to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm praying you'll go from far off to far out, boom, through faith. But not only that, this is just half of our reconciliation. The blood of Jesus also brings us near to one another. John Reed, he tells of driving a school bus in Australia. His bus carried Caucasian and Aboriginal students. And the black kids and the white kids, they would squabble every single day, quarrel constantly. Well, finally, one day, John had had enough. He pulled his bus over to the side of the road. He made all the kids exit onto the side of the road. He told them, from now on, I refuse to allow either white kids or black kids to ride my bus. If you want to ride my bus, you have to be green. He asked the students, what color are you? Before they could reboard the bus, John made each of the kids answer green. Well, when all the green kids were seated, he cranked up a quiet bus. Man thought he had finally found some peace. That's until he heard one of the kids say, hey, all the dark green kids on one side and all the light green kids on the other side. You see, John had hoped to end their division through words, through just suggestions. But his effort failed. Why? It had no substance. Why believe anyone is green? You see, there's more to our unity than just words and gimmicks. You want some substance for why we have been brought together and made one? You want some blood, sweat, and tears? Who's invested in this thing? You want some skin in the game? Jesus Christ has got some skin in the game. He's got some blood, sweat, and tears in this endeavor. Jesus has gone the distance to bring us near one another. And this is why we can say today, if you live estranged from one another, you're denying the blood of Jesus. There's a reason for us to be united. We need to live for what he died for. Jesus doesn't negotiate a peace. He doesn't try to smooth talk us into it. Notice verse 14, for he himself is our peace. You see, the method that God uses to break down differences and bring people together isn't sitting down with them at the bargaining table. It's not you meet me halfway and I'll meet you halfway. Tit for tat ain't where it's at. God doesn't arbitrate or negotiate. Instead, he grabs you by the hand and he grabs me by the hand and he brings us both together and he says, hey, if you want me, you got to take him. That's how God does it. This is what 1 John tells us. It warns us. You can't say that you love God if you hate your brother. You can't say that. You see, the cross has two bars, one vertical, one horizontal. Jesus died to reconcile man to God, the vertical. But he also died to reconcile man to his fellow man, the horizontal. And you can't accept one without the other. Whatever it is that you're holding on to that helps you justify your separation from that other group, whether your prejudice is racial or political or social or economic, hey, it pales in comparison to what's drawing us and wooing us and beckoning us all to come together. Jesus died not only to forgive us of our sin, but to deliver us from this us versus them mentality. I don't care how righteous you think your bias might be. It is sinful if it keeps you from answering God's call for unity. Jesus is our peace, and to resist that peace made possible by his blood is to resist Jesus himself. Every year, the National Football League has an all-star game. It's called the Pro Bowl. It really gets very little notice for what it is. But top-notch players, they all gather together. star players from the American Conference, they wear white jerseys. Whereas the star players from the National Conference, they don blue jerseys. But the game is notoriously sloppy, and the players put out very little effort. In fact, last year they talked about even discontinuing the whole game. See, here's the problem. A player isn't paid by his conference. His salary comes from his team. And though the stars wear the jersey of their conference, notice what helmet they're wearing. They're wearing the helmet of their team. You see, their actual allegiance is to their team. And it's not worth risking injury to the team just to perform for your conference. And let me suggest, this is what happens in the church. We come together on Sundays and we don the jersey of Christ. Supposedly we're all on his team. Yet just like the Pro Bowlers, we're actually playing for whatever special interest holds our loyalty. Whether it be my race, or my ethnicity, or my culture, or my professional guild, or my economic status, or my political party, etc., etc. And this is why church gets such a lackluster effort from us. Because we're just playing for our conference, not our team. We're wearing the jersey, but the helmet doesn't match. Oh, we might get excited at game time. But because our commitment is so nominal and dwarfed by our other identities, we fall short of the harmony that God wants to exhibit through us. And then what people do? They blame the church and say it's the church's problem and wonder if church is really worth the effort. Problem is, we're wearing the jersey, but we don't have the right helmet on. We haven't embraced the helmet. We haven't truly embraced. We're not living for what Christ died for, which is our unity. We're living for our own special interests and agendas. Paul finishes verse 14. For who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation? You got to know, on the cross, by his blood, Jesus paid for our unity. But then he rose from the dead, kicking in fences and breaking down walls and mowing over hedges and taking apart barriers and redrawing dividing lines. Jesus was good at redrawing lines. The temple in the first century was a court within a court within a court. In fact, moving from outside in, there were six courts. There was the court of the Gentiles, and then the court of the women, and then the court of Israel, and then the court of the priests, and then the holy place, and then the innermost court, the Holy of Holies. And from each court to the next, certain people were disqualified from admission until finally only one man on one day a year was allowed into the Holy of Holies, and that was the high priest. In other words, walls and barriers existed between each court. Jerusalem archaeologists working on the Temple Mount have discovered the wall separating the court of the Gentiles from the court of the women. And apparently a placard hung from that wall, which threatened death to any Gentile who dared to enter further than that wall. I'm telling you, people get serious about keeping outsiders out. In fact, this was the very reason Paul was in prison. In Acts chapter 21, he was accused of bringing a Gentile beyond this very wall. And Paul was amazed that he was being punished for ignoring a wall that God wanted torn down, that Jesus had died to tear down. In Christ, all the walls between God and man and between us and them have been razed to the ground. It reminds me of the three French soldiers who came home after World War II. They brought with them the dead body of a friend. And they asked the Catholic priest in their town to give him a decent burial there in the church cemetery. The priest asked, was he baptized Catholic? They didn't know. Well, the priest refused. He said this was a Catholic graveyard. And so the soldiers had to bury their friend right outside the fence. But when the men returned the next day, they were surprised to find that the grave had been moved inside the graveyard fence. And they wanted to know why. Who moved the grave? They went and they found the priest. And the priest admitted to them, "Last night I felt very guilty. I couldn't sleep. So I went to the graveyard and I moved the fence to include your friend's grave." And you see, this is what Jesus has done for us. He moves fences. He breaks down walls. He erases lines of demarcation that once divided us. Paul says what kept the Gentiles outside of God's family was the Jewish law contained in ordinances. Now notice, the problem wasn't God's law per se. Jesus boiled down the whole law into two commandments: love God with all you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. The Old Testament illustrated what that love looked like in an agrarian society at that time in history. The Jews had 613 ordinances that contained this law of love that they were expected to keep. But to the Gentiles, many of these ordinances were irrelevant. They weren't applicable. I mean, Gentiles didn't know anything about the Sabbath. They weren't expected to conform their diet to kosher rules. They had no reason to be circumcised. This is why Jesus didn't abolish the law. He fulfilled the law by putting God's love in our hearts. But he did wipe out this law contained in ordinances. And in doing so, Jesus broke down the wall between Jews and Gentiles. In other words, he left no more reason for us to remain separate. Notice verse 15. "So as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." In 1991, the world watched in amazement as the Berlin Wall came down. That concrete barricade stood between East and West for 40 years. You know, people were shot trying to cross that wall. Then in 1989, the East German government allowed its citizens to visit relatives in the West. And it was the joy of friends and family. It was the power of unity that caused the Germans to rise up and dismantle the former wall of separation. Yet the Berlin Wall, it stood for just 40 years. The wall Jesus abolished, this law contained in ordinances, stood for 1,400 years. Many people thought it was an unscalable wall. It represented fundamental differences that could never be resolved. Even more so than East and West, there was no way that Jews and Gentiles could ever hammer out an agreement and establish a unity. But what negotiation couldn't do, a Savior does. The peace we experience in Jesus lifts us up above our dividing lines and our walls of separation. It's been said, only a new love can destroy an old prejudice. And we find that new love in Jesus Christ. Notice verse 16, "And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity." Hey, we're one body of believers since we're saved through one body sacrificed on the cross. The cross is how we're all forgiven. The cross is how we all come to know God. The cross is how we're all saved and blessed. The sacrifice of Jesus is such a unifying force. How dare any of us insist on hiding behind our walls? Notice the word "abolish" here in verse 15. It means to nullify or to make irrelevant. Christian unity eclipses our differences by giving us an overarching commonality. The sacrifice of Jesus creates such a powerful bond between us. We're willing to overlook our peculiarities. Hey, if you're a Gentile, be a Gentile. If you're a Jew, be a Jew. If you're a brother, be a brother. If you're a redneck, be a redneck. If you're a Democrat, be a Democrat. If you're a Republican, be a Republican. If you homeschool your kids, well, then homeschool them. If you send them to public school, then support the public school. If you're a Yellow Jacket, be a Bulldog. No. I'm just kidding. My point is that we're never going to agree on everything. It's been said, the only time two people think alike is when one of them isn't thinking. We'll never be united when the only path to that unity is to sit down and negotiate a settlement over every point in which we disagree. In Christ, though, We have a commonality greater than all of our differences. And it's when we surrender to Jesus that we're finally united on the deepest level. This is why it said true Christian unity isn't found at a negotiating table, but at the communion table. You know, when the Berlin Wall did come down, suddenly there were no more East Germans and West Germans, just Germans. There was now one new unified Germany. And this is what Jesus has done. From Jews and Gentiles, he has created a third race. One new man from the two, as Paul puts it. Christians are a new people group. We are a new race. Jesus didn't intend to make Gentiles Jewish, nor Jews to become more like Gentiles. In the same way, he doesn't want white folks to become Ebonic, nor does he want black folks to become vanilla. I mean, go ahead and act your age. It's okay. Have your music. Enjoy your tastes. Jesus just overshadows all of those superficial distinctions, and he launches one new man, the Christian. In Christ, we're not a hybrid. We're not some half-breed. We're not a mixture, some kind of schizophrenic, unsure of our real identity. We're an entirely new race, a third race. And we're called on to embrace our race and relate to others and come together around this new identity, not the special interests that we might be holding on to. It's interesting. This was the exact terminology used by the early church. This is how they saw themselves. In the second century, Clement of Alexandria, he wrote, "We who worship God in a new way as the third race are Christians." He coined a new phrase. We're not Jews. We're not Gentiles. We're a third race, Christian. And until today's church, in fact, until our church sees ourselves first and foremost as this third race, a new people group, we'll never overcome the pettiness and the division and the complacency that keeps us defeated and apart. Don't wear the jersey if your helmet doesn't match. What identity we embrace makes all the difference. There's a herd of deer that live in the forests of Germany along its border with the Czech Republic. In 1989, when the Iron Curtain fell, the fence between East and West was taken down. The deer were now free to migrate back and forth, but they didn't. They continued to travel as they had before the fence was removed. Even years later, their migratory patterns remain the same. Younger animals born after the fence had been removed and torn down, they still refuse to cross the former lines. You see, deer follow traditional trails that get modeled for them by older generations. Apparently, the younger deer have yet to venture off the beaten path. One researcher stated, "The wall in their head is still there." And this is what you and I should be on guard against. The wall in our head. What scares me are the inbred biases and prejudices that have been passed down to me by former generations. There are walls in our heads. We like the familiar. We favor our favorites. And unless we force ourselves to venture off the beaten path, we'll never really exhibit the unity that is ours in Christ. Hey, there is too much at stake today. There's too much out there in the world to divide us. This fractious world we live in has made it far too easy for Satan. There's so many side issues and splinter groups and special interests and hobby horses. That's why unless we stay true to Christ's claim on our lives and not get distracted, we are doomed to fall short. I love verse 17 here. "And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near." Notice Jesus preached the gospel to Jews and Gentiles. Both groups needed the gospel. The gospel of Jesus is a one-size-fits-all remedy. It's for privileged sinners like Jews. It's for orphan sinners like Gentiles. The gospel of Jesus is what saves all sinners. And then in verse 18, we find the ultimate evidence of just how far we Gentiles have come. He says, for through him we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit to the Father. Everyone, no matter who they are, no matter where they're from, come to God through Jesus by his Spirit. Think of two believers in Jesus. Two believers in Jesus. One is a Jew. He has memorized the scripture. He has spent his whole life long trying to obey the law of God. The other is a Greek. He spent his life offering incense to Zeus. He's been out there on a drift on a sea of paganism. And yet that former idolater has the same access to God as that faithful Jew. And why? Because our only access to God is through Jesus Christ. It's in Christ. That's what makes the difference. Imagine if you got a text message saying that tickets go on sale for heaven starting first thing tomorrow. Where would you be at 8 o'clock? You don't want to miss heaven. You'd be the first person up at the window, at the box office. But what if the clerk said, sorry, heaven is sold out? You'd be pretty upset. You'd wonder, how can that be? I'm the first customer to the counter. But here's what happened. God bought out his own show. On the cross, Jesus paid for all of heaven's tickets so that now he can give them freely to those who trust in him. The only access we have to God is through Jesus Christ. The Greek word translated access also means usher or escort. In Christ, we are escorted into God's presence. Hey, if you've never really known God, you've heard of him and you've wondered if he's real, but you're not really sure, realize access to God, it isn't granted to just anybody. It's the blood of Jesus that pays for the ticket, and it's the Spirit who ushers you in. That's why you need to ask yourself today, have I ever trusted in Jesus? If you trust in Jesus, you'll know immediately that God is real. For that distance, it'll be shrunk down, and you'll come to know God through Jesus Christ. For 35 years, Wilfredo Garza, he lived the life of an illegal Mexican immigrant. Every day he crossed the border to find work to support his family. Garza spent every day looking over his shoulder, scared, afraid, risking his life. Four times he was caught by Border Patrol. One day Garza worked up the courage to walk into the office of an immigration attorney. The lawyer discovered that Garza's father had been born in Texas. That meant that Wilfredo Garza was an American citizen, but he hadn't known it. And for 35 years, he'd lived as a stranger. And there are folks today, here today, who are Christians. You wear the jersey, but your helmet doesn't match. You act like a stranger to these promises, like an illegal. You're always looking over your shoulder. You're never becoming a part. Perhaps you're a Christian, but you're a lot of other stuff too. And that tends to get in the way, especially of the unity God wants you to experience with the rest of the body of Christ. Jesus is serious about this unity. Jesus is our peace. Don't keep living behind walls in your head and think it's okay. It's time we shelve our other agendas and live for what Jesus died for. It's time that we embrace a third race. If there's a commitment in your life more important than our unity, then think again. For on the cross, Jesus created one new man. I pray you and I will live like it.
Being on the go is something we're all accustomed to in this culture. The hustle and bustle of life seems to make the days just fly by. For most of us, our smartphones are sort of an extension of our bodies, constantly ringing and dinging, telling us where to be and what the next appointment is. The technology that we enjoy in this day and age is amazing. And while there's certainly no end to the bad things we can find online and through our smartphones, there's also some great kingdom-minded options. We'd like to invite you to download the Sandy Adams mobile app. Our mobile app is available for iPhone, Android, and Windows smartphones. Or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the link from the main menu. When you download the app, you'll be able to listen to the most recent messages taught by Pastor Sandy, browse the series archive, and search the archive alphabetically. Finally, when you download the mobile app, you'll also have the opportunity to join us live for our Sunday morning worship service right from your smartphone. Again, to download the Sandy Adams mobile app, simply enter Sandy Adams in the search options of your smartphone's app store, or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the mobile app option right on the homepage. And please join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the Bible right here on Sandy Adams Radio.